Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Heard this great voice of mine. So you know what? I'm not going to get excited today. I'm going to give you my natural voice, which is deep, running deep up in there. That's me, Mr. FSP. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Apocalypse Saturday Edition, along with my co-host, JT ATM Money, who is my man, 50 grand, no doubt about it. He will stand when I can't stand. We're going to talk today about Aaron Hernandez. We're going to talk today about the NBA playoffs. And we're going to give you NFL draft predictions. But to be more specific, we're going to talk about Aaron Hernandez verdict, its implications on the NFL, what message does it send to the rest of the world and NFL players, and how deep is the gang-like culture a part of the NFL. Not only will we talk about Aaron Hernandez, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. As I said before, the possibility of the top 10 picks. We know who have the picks at this time, but will someone move up to pick Mariota and just sit there and wait until Chip Kelly can swoop and get him? Is he too much of a risk at this point to move up and get him? He's not a traditional quarterback. Will Jerry Jones go after AP and do a reverse trade? Remember when he began his ownership, his tenure as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, one of the things he did, or one of the major things he did, was he traded Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings for a slew of picks. Will the reverse happen this year? In this time, in the change of the guard, in order for AP to make it to the Dallas Cowboys, or will the Oakland Raiders give up their first overall pick and maybe one or two other picks to get AP? How sick would that be for the Oakland Raider nation if you got AP with a young Carr, Jones, and maybe one or two other solid components in Oakland? Might not be what AP wants, but it could be there. Right now I'm watching the Washington Wizards take on the Toronto Raptors. It's 19-15. The NBA playoffs have officially kicked off with this 4-5 seed matchup in the East. But here's the question. Will this be the year for the changing of the guard in the NBA? Meaning, one of the young teams such as the Golden State Warriors or Atlanta Hawks take the top spot away from the Spurs? Can LeBron and the Cavs knock out the competition since they're the number two seed and win their first ever championship? All that and a whole bunch more, along with your fantasy baseball lineups and how you doing in fantasy baseball. I know how Jerry's doing in one league. He's behind me, of course. But we're going to bring JT in right now and let him talk. I've banter for a little bit. JT, shalom, my brother. Shalom.
Hello, Victor. How are you today?
Are you going to your civilized Malcolm X voice? Is that what you're doing?
Chickens have come home to roost.
The chickens have come home. Are we going to talk about the Carlos Gomez trade, or are we just going to talk about Malcolm X saying that? Because the chickens have to come on the roost for you. But anyway.
Let me, you know, Well, I don't know if you want to get into fantasy baseball, but it's your show. That's up to you. But all I got to say is, and I wish other members of the league were here to listen, but I'm going to be a force to be reckoned with in this league. I can see it right now. I have is a very high power to say that, to say, including my staff, who I'm still fine-tuning. And it seems like the last 2 weeks, it's like, you know, I don't understand, because I had a fight last week to win the match last week. And the matchup this week were the two high scores going into the weekend. And I still have to this week. So it seems like I don't know if I got a turn on my back. I haven't talked any smack on the message board. I talked a little bit during the draft, but it seems like I got a target on the back, because I'm in for a fight every week. I got to put up the highest score, it looks like, in order to win this match this week. But that's neither here nor there. Your trade that we did, it was a good trade, fortunately. The one part of the trade that you received, the player got hurt, and the other player that I received in return, when I started talking too fast, my player got hurt. Now he's on it. It is what it is, but there's a lot of players out there. I'm surprised a lot more people haven't been making moves for individual players versus pitchers. It seems like once I started making moves, a lot of moves in the league with pitchers, a lot of other players followed suit. So it's going to be a fight week to week. Carlos,
you are not the Pied Piper. You do not lead the pack. You narcissistic person, you.
I am leaving the pack. I am leading this pack. Trust me when I say this. I am going to be leading this pack. Trust me.
Well, who's leading?
You are a
who's leading it right now?
Buck and McCutcheon. No, you're not.
In our division,
how you figuring that? No way, no how.
In
no
our division,
way.
I'm leading.
No, you're not. Look,
yes,
look
I
very
am.
Carefully. No, you're not. No, you can't be. You can't be. I'm 1-0, and I have scored the most points the first week. There's no way that you're.
We both are 1-0. However, I am still in front of our division. Now, if I win this week, I'll be 2-0, and it won't matter about your total points because you'll be 1-1. But
I digress. Yeah, you're digressing because you don't have the firepower that some of these other teams, including myself, have in this league. You've been lacking in scoring the first week and in it this week, even though you did win. You went against an inferior opponent that's trying to recoup. And I'm looking at the standings right now, and I'm sitting on top of the West. I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was sitting on top.
See, that's what young Buck. Listen to the master, and he'll lead you to win.
Oh, my. You know what? I said I was going to be Mr. Magnanimous and be nice, and I'm throwing out the window. I'm coming after you, punk, you old-timer. Anyway.
Say, have I called you any names? I just tried to school you, and then you decided to call me a punk. Come on. I should understand that from a young buck that can't find the right words to make a comeback with, versus a derogatory remark. But that's okay.
Well,
I understand.
You'll get plenty of that come September. So just realize that. From your Republican partner.
every. Oh yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I know. But that's okay because I'm ready for him. I am absolutely ready for him. Regardless, I've had a hiatus for a while, and I've gathered my thoughts. I've gathered my. I've gotten to be more patient and more diplomatic in my responses back to someone that disagrees with my opinion, especially someone on the other side of the aisle that is got problems thinking rationally, in my estimation. But come September, October, whenever it starts, it's on. It's on.
It's all a hot button popcorn. Well, right now, I'm talking about it's on. Mm-hmm. The big news, or in sports, that is, the news that changed the landscape of football this week was the Aaron Hernandez verdict. And the responses from the jury members. I don't know if you had a chance to hear any of those or anything like that, but I want to get some comments on that. Here's where I'm at with this. A young man, I believe Aaron Hernandez, what, 24, 25, something like that? Well,
yes.
He has no positive life left. And what I mean by that is he will be locked up inside of a cage in a facility for the rest of his life. Now, we all know there's an appeals process. Got it. I follow. Not an issue. However, they convicted him on circumstantial evidence. And it's very hard to get a conviction overturned. Not to mention, the gentleman was sentenced right after the conviction. He faces another court date on the 29th of May for an additional murder charge, which can get him double life. The question, Mr. Taylor, well, one of the questions that I have for you is, what is this verdict's impact on the NFL or the implications on the NFL? What I mean by that is, are they going to have to go into damage control? Are they going to do other things? Because I noticed something. I don't know if you noticed it, because I know you were at work at the time. When the verdict came out, the NFL Network did not break it. NFL Network did not even talk about it. They ran their normal programming of NFL AM, which was already in rerun mode, over here on the West Coast. ESPN and other sports outlets ran with it. Is the NFL trying to ignore the issue? Are they trying to put it behind them? What do you see on or going wrong with the NFL in this situation?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the NFL with this situation. I think that it is what it is, that there was an individual that was a part of the NFL, at the New England Patriots, that allegedly, now we know that, I can't say that for sure, but allegedly at the time committed a murder, and it's a possible double murder, along with a couple of partners of his, and that it was covered by the other news outlets other than the NFL, and at the time it broke, let me put it that way, let me just premise that time it broke, the NFL Network didn't interrupt their programming to let their listeners and viewers know what other media outlets did. But I don't think I can't say it's a black eye on the NFL, because it's not. I don't think it reflects on the NFL. I just think it reflects on the player himself. He turned out to be a bad egg. He was a hell of a player when he did play, but he had some He had huge character flaws that cost him his freedom and for the rest of his life. 24, 25 years old, committed a murder, like I said, or possible double murder. And the NFL chose not to break their normal airing until later. I think later in the day, or I'm not exactly sure what time they first put it on the air on the NFL Network. But what you're telling me, when it first came out, they didn't air it. Okay, that's fine. They aired it at when they thought was the proper time to do it. It wasn't like it's a story that you could hide if you wanted to hide it. But it was the fact is that the message is for the NFL players, if that's what's one of the things that you're trying to say, that asking me, is that quite naturally it's been the same message. You mess up, you're going to pay the price. It's because you're a football player, whether you are the 53rd man on a roster or the best player on the team, you are not immune to being prosecuted and convicted and serving a whatever type of prison sentence, be it small or huge, that because you're a football player. But it's an age-old story, man. This is nothing new. They go to rookie combines. Players and their teams always talk to their players about their proper conduct and the consequences of improper conduct. And every year we have players that do dumb things at dumb times, and you scratch your head and you tweak your head one way or the other, like, why did he do that? I mean, it didn't make any sense. So it's never going to stop. It's an imperfect world and it's an imperfect league. You're going to get problem childs on every team and every league, just not the NFL. So it's a long answer, but it is what it is. Aaron Hernandez is paying the price. Thought he was immune to it. He wasn't. He found out the hard way. He's going to serve his life sentence and to pay for a crime and possibly another crime if he goes to trial for that.
Well, I got to disagree with you a little bit because I do believe that the NFL is trying to distance itself from Aaron Hernandez and actions like that. As I recall, when the Sharper news broke, when they did the NFL update, you know, at the top of the hour, they spoke about it. They even ran the streamer at the bottom of their screen, you know, saying Darren Sharper convicted of had a plea deal, It was at least brought up and it was discussed. The damaging thing, in my opinion, is the fact that you had the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, give testimony against Aaron Hernandez. And at the same time, they distanced themselves from him, just like the NFL is. The conversation I had at work was, the NFL will never be hurt because they'll just pay their PR people to take care of the situation. And my rebuttal to that was, you can't tell me the NFL is not getting hurt by this. If you look at the Ray Rice situation, if you look at the Greg Hardy or Ray McDonald, even though Ray McDonald, the first situation is got dismissed or whatever, it was unfounded. But the second time that it just happened not too long ago, he got cut. The NFL, yes, will protect itself, but at the same time, is there a culture of that gang or that mindset in the NFL at this point. If you look at the Cincinnati Bengals for a long time, they would never take a risky player, so to speak, a flag player, so to speak, until they started to win. Then they took some red flag players. They picked up Pac-Man Jones. They picked up several other players that were, quote-unquote, red flag players. They started winning. And some of them, you know, changed. Some didn't. But all in all, when you have athletes that come from various backgrounds, some are well off, some very much not so well off, and you have time and money, there's a problem that develops. I really think it is. And that's why we're talking about Jameis Winston possibly not being the number one overall pick because of that situation. That's why we're talking about Dez Bryant firing or discussing, you know, removing the Dallas Cowboy person out of his camp because he doesn't want him around there due to the clauses in his contract, the contract negotiations. You know, some of these owners are trying to, I guess, protect their investment, but some of these players are just saying, look, I've got some money, I can buy what I want, I can do what I want, and I'm going to get away with it. They didn't work for O.J. Simpson.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Now, when you reference Ray Rice, that's a totally different – it's totally different. The reason being I'm saying this is because the NFL got themselves in trouble because they handled it wrong in the first place, and then they tried to backtrack and make up for it, and it was a PR nightmare. Dez Bryant hasn't been in trouble in at least a couple of years. At least a couple
that we
years.
Know of. That we know of.
No. Dez Bryant has not been in trouble. Trust me. If Dez Bryant had got into any kind of trouble, and it was definitely something that was substantiated, it would be in the news. Trust me, it would be in the news. Now, I understand Dez Bryant and his situation. He hasn't signed his franchise tender because he won't, and I don't blame him. For the simple fact is the Dallas Cowboys is trying to keep a monitor on him. And I understand both sides, but I really understand Dez Bryant. He says, look, I haven't done anything in whatever amount of time it was since you gave me this monitor or before you gave me this monitor. I agreed to all your terms, and all your terms I've kept myself clean. I want my money because I've been performing like a good boy. Stop using the excuse that we don't trust you, Dez, because that hasn't been the case in at least a couple of years. And that's the ploy. And that's the problem with NFL teams being able to use that type of rhetoric to hold money from players that they think are questionable, but haven't done anything in recent years to warrant that. Dez Bryant should get his money, plain and simple. The fact is,
Jerry,
they're trying to use that against him. To get a discounted rate on him, and he's not going to go for it. Now,
but here's
the
question:
He has very good representation in Rock Nation. That, trust me, they want to get paid just like Dez, so they're going to make sure that Dez does the right thing. They want to get rid of the David Wells, who's the guy that Dallas is dealing with Dez. Wants to have just Rock Nation deal with everything that Dez has to deal with, and Jerry Jones and that organization is, I wouldn't say stonewalling, but they don't want to do that. Who knows why? But they're using the excuse that we don't trust you, Dez. Basically, that's what they're using, and he hasn't shown that he should be mistrusted. Let me put it that way.
Jerry, I got to say this to you because I understand where you're coming from, but I got to disagree. I got to disagree. If you have a player that has had problems in the past and you took a risk on him, drafted him, even though he was an immense talent, I believe that you have every right to, I guess, interfere in his life, so to speak, or monitor him because, one...
Well, for how long?
Listen, until you're satisfied that he has changed his ways, I'll tell you like this. There are people that are undesirable, right? You represent the NFL. I'm talking about Dez right now. We can get back to Ray Rice in a minute, but he represents the NFL, and more importantly, people identify him with the star, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever hissy fits he throws, whatever actions he does, or whatever he's done in the past, it is going to come back not as Dez Bryant, but as wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant, NFL player, Dez Bryant. Now, does every person have the same compass, the same, what am I trying to get to, the same personal compass? Am I going to be around my friends who act silly all the daggone time, knowing that I'm in the my career field and things they do could jeopardize my career? I'm talking about me now. You know, no, because I know the type of junk they're doing. Even though they're my friends, I can't take the risk because I have to look out for my family and the things that I'm doing.
What makes you think Dez hasn't done the same thing?
Well, listen, what makes you think Dez Bryant, you see a marketable change in people when they've changed their lives. You see a marketable change. Meaning, I understand his passion. I understand that. Michael Irvin had the same thing. Michael Irvin still deals with some issues in his life. I'm not saying you have to be a devout Christian. I'm not saying you have to go to church. I'm not saying do all this other stuff. But Michael Irvin don't hang out with the same type of people that he hung out with when he was, you know, at the height of his career. You know, he's changed his marketability. When he got fired from ESPN, that was Michael Irvin's wake-up call. I mean, that's what I saw. The Michael Irvin that worked at ESPN was the same Michael Irvin that played for the Dallas Cowboys. The Michael Irvin that's commentating for the NFL Network is somewhat the same Michael Irvin, but you can see he's humbler. He's more accepting of others' thoughts and not interrupting them as much, whether that's because he's in fear of losing his job or whatever it is. There's a change. Now, when I'm talking about Dez Bryant, I don't see him on the field, you know, saying, give me a ball to daggone time, which is good. But you see him on the sideline, stomping him down. We're not privy to what he's saying. We have to get it secondhand. But it's that perception that he gives you because we don't hear exactly what's going on. I, as a spectator, see his antics. I, as a spectator, think, okay, well, you know, Dez is going off again. Dez is acting stupid again. That's what I see.
Yeah, I'm saying, do you think the opposite of Dez? You think the negative part of Dez?
What I'm
seeing of Dez on the sidelines, Dez is that inspirational leader on that team. That fire on that team. That's who Dez Bryant is. So when you see him doing antics on the sidelines, it's not because it's all about me. It's all about the team, trying to get the team right, trying to pump the team up, trying to show that confidence that we are the Dallas Cowboys and we can do this.
But, JT, I understand that.
I'm listening.
But, again, what is the perception, though? You know, you have to listen to the commentators say, well, it looks like Dez is doing this. Dez might be doing that, but we don't know what Dez is really doing until afterwards when the question is asked of his teammates, of his coach, of him. And I got that.
Yeah.
Well, my point in bringing that type of stuff up is the perception is what they're basing their strategy off of. Dez Bryant
perception is the eye of the beholder.
Correct. And if Jerry Jones and I forgot his son's name, see some of the same
Stephen
type of
Jones.
People. Stephen, yeah. They see some of the same type of people around Dez that was around him in the beginning. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Thought process is, okay, Dez is pulling the wool over our eyes. Dez is doing this. He might be. He might not be. We don't know because Dez is Dez. And that goes back to the Aaron Hernandez situation. Aaron Hernandez was this calm, cool, collected guy when he got that contract saying he's changing his life and he's doing this, that, and the third. But in the same time, he's banging, literally banging. But the perception that he gave the public and his owner, I've changed my life. I've done this. I've done that. I'm moving away. I don't have the same. But it was all a lie that we're learning. We're learning it was all a lie. And that's the point that I'm making here. When you want to talk about how, you know, how long are you going to wait till somebody has earned your trust or whatever so they can get that contract, dude, you got to make marketable changes in your life. Now, Hernandez snowballed Mr. Kraft. He did. And what happened? Soon as Hernandez went in the day that he got, you know, arrested or whatever and talked to him, he told Bob Kraft somewhat of the truth. Or Bob Kraft told him, look, we know this, that, and the third because we have our private investigators and da-da-da. Tell me the truth. Aaron may have told him the truth. He may not have told him the truth. We don't know. But at that point, Bob Kraft said, no, you're done. We're not going to deal with this. And that's what I'm trying to get to, this mentality, not just with Dez Bryant, not just with Aaron Hernandez, but with the NFL in general. Ray Rice. Alcohol can make people do strange things. His now wife, you know, was inebriated and caused him, well, I'm not going to say she caused because I'm not going to make him the victim, but invoked a reaction from him that was less than desirable. I mean, far from desirable. But that doesn't mean Ray Rice is a bad guy. His actions were deplorable, you know. And then he owned up to it. He did own up to it. But because of the way things went down, yes, the NFL botched it, and yes, there was information that should have been released and wasn't released and all this other stuff. But Ray Rice is pretty much done for a year or two. Richie Incognito. This was one of the things that were brought up to me in the situation. Look at Richie Incognito. Spends a year out of the NFL, comes back, pretty much all is forgiven. He's with the Buffalo Bills. No doubt his talent, but he had monster red flags coming out of college. Monster red flags. Now he's back in the NFL. But there are conditions to him being back in the NFL. Now, do I think he actually bullied old boy? Not really. I think he said some very bad things. I think he did some bad things. But some of these guys in locker rooms, and we've been in locker rooms, Jerry, with black and white players and Latin players and Asian players, where certain things are said, but they're not said outside of the locker room for everybody to hear.
Right.
I mean, you follow what I'm saying. So.
Yeah, I understand.
So when you look at these characters that are in the NFL, have they or is there a culture there that needs monitoring that, you know, says, okay, look, either we're not going to draft these type of players. We got one in the draft right now, Beckham. I've seen the ESPN and NFL Network little specials on him and stuff about how he's adopted and he's with his nice family and all this other stuff. But that didn't stop him from continually smoking weed. That didn't stop him from allegedly pulling that girl down the stairs at Missouri. That didn't stop him from doing certain things and getting in trouble. He was the number one receiver until all this mess came about, and now he's rated number five, possibly by Mike Mayock, as you said, and quite possibly is going to go in the second or third round as opposed to a first rounder. Teams don't want to invest that type of money. They see the talent. They see what's there. But are they willing to deal with the mess that comes along with it? That is the big question.
Only if they do their due diligence and go back as far as they can possibly go back and on the background of any of these players that have certain type of issues, Doral Green Beckham being one of them. Now, in my opinion, I think that stuff is probably behind them. But getting back to what you said about these players and how the NFL can deal with these players that are in the league and that are coming to the league. Well, they have I go with the players that come into the league first. They have a rookie symposium, quite naturally. It's always mixed with guys that have made mistakes, veterans that made mistakes and maybe in the league still or out of the league, Chris Carter being one of them, let these rookies know that just because you come into the league doesn't mean and you think it's not going to happen to you, you'll be the first person it'll happen to. Plus, these leagues have, the team and the league has ongoing information and programs that they give to these players to look for, what not to look for, what can get you in trouble, what's the right thing way to go about certain situations and scenarios. They give them a lot of tools and a lot of information to be on the right path. Now, the majority of players are good guys. Some of them may have had issues, but straighten themselves out and are on a good path. But you always have a certain element that has trouble doing the right thing and put themselves in situations being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Late night, happens to a lot of them late night. And these guys, quite naturally, football players, they're very intense on the field, and a lot of them like to blow off steam off the field. Some do better jobs of blowing steam off the field than others, and the ones that don't do a good job, I'm not saying all of them, but quite a few of them can get themselves in trouble. With that being said, you're not going to get rid of that. You got, 1,600 players or something like that in this league? You're not going to get rid of that. You're always going to have a certain percentage that, regardless of what information and all the tools that you give them to stay out of trouble, they're going to get in trouble. So you try to manage it the best way you can. You try to put penalties in place that are going to take money away from for sure, going to take time away from the game for sure, which is going to hurt them also, and hope that's going to be a deterrent. Sometimes it is. You got guys that are never going to be back in the league. And sometimes it is. You got guys that straighten themselves out.
Well, that's what I'm saying, JT, when we talk about Dez Bryant's situation. You know, I understand he hasn't been in public trouble for a while. But the perception of his antics on the field, you know, demonstrate a sign. Yeah, he's passionate. Got it. Understand, but don't leave the perception to the announcer to shape the idea of the listening and viewing public because they don't know what he's saying.
What?
All they
see is his antics. Well, wait a minute. There's many players in different positions that have antics on the sidelines. Just because it's Dez Bryant, it's got to be negative. Come on.
No.
Come on.
But he has a history of it, and that's the thing. You know, I look at
his history of what? Wait a minute. He doesn't have a history on the sidelines of being negative. He doesn't have a history of negativity. He doesn't have a history. That's what I'm saying. He does not have a history of being negative on the sidelines. He does not have a history. His intensity, he wants his team to win. He's trying to pump up the players, that his fellow players. He doesn't have – Dez is a team guy. He's not a mean guy. He's not a mean type of guy. Well, wait a minute.
Say that.
Most guys that do demonstrative things are accused of being me guys, when a lot of them are team guys and trying to pump up the team. I keep saying it again. He's the heart of that team. He's the inspirational guy of that team. He got a lot of black players on that team. He jumps in their face to get them to get going.
I hope you're done defending him, but the point the point is that
I'm listening.
The point is you have Aaron Hernandez situation.
That's different. Don't equate Aaron Hernandez with Dez Bryant. Totally different. Not even close.
I'm trying to tie the strings for you.
What you're trying to do is say that because Aaron Hernandez was the problem, that reflects on Dez, but it's totally different. Dez never been that type of problem.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is that players like Aaron Hernandez, who come into the league with these red flags, major red flags, they bring along with them a culture that does not belong in the NFL. Aaron Hernandez fooled Bob Kraft, fooled
two different people,
NFL, fooled the public. I'm not saying his job is to, make everybody believe Hernandez. What I'm saying is Aaron Hernandez came into the league with baggage, known baggage. Everyone knew about it. The Patriots took a chance on him, right? The Patriots saw that he was doing stuff in the community, that he was doing other things to show that he is not or was not that person that he was painted out to be. So they give him a contract extension. He gets the money. But what the public and the Patriots did not know is his other real lifestyle, the lifestyle that everyone had thought had been passed.
That's him.
But we're finding out that it was not in his past. It was in his present. Go ahead, say what you want to say.
That's on them. They didn't do their due diligence. They didn't take the step that the Cowboys did and have in parentheses, a hall monitor in David Wells that they have with Dez Bryant. And Aaron Hernandez had a more violent, extreme violent background, including the University of Florida where he played, than Dez Bryant. So it's two different. I understand what you're saying about problem with players, but two different types of scenarios with Dez Bryant and Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez had an extremely violent background, before he was drafted, and he had issues with his team, and he was very aloof and very distant. With his teammates, when he was drafted, when he became part of the team. That's the known fact. Dez Bryant was the exact opposite. Dez Bryant was the exact opposite. Now, he did. Wait a minute. Dez got in trouble. Dez got in trouble. Wait. Let me finish my thought, and we can finish it or whatever. Dez Bryant got in trouble when he came to the Cowboys. Very immature, had problems even with his mother and whatever. All right? They thought that he was going down the wrong road. They wanted to beat Dez Bryant because he was a hell of a talent. So they decided to come up with him not being out after 12 o'clock and having this monitor and whatever else went along with it. But he went along with all that. He was a good soldier and went along with all that and proved that he could stay out of trouble. Okay? Now it's his time to get paid, and they're using that against him. How long are you going to use that against him? That's my problem. When teams decide to do the steps and do the due diligence and do background checks on guys and keep guys in check when they get on the team, how long does that last? Now they want to hold his money back because they fear that if he gets money, he's going to get paid to buck wild. Well, how long does that last? If it's such a problem, why do you have him on your team in the first place? If it's such a problem, sooner or later, if you don't pay him, if you franchise tag him, he signs a franchise tag, you won't have Dez Bryant. You'll have a disgruntled player wanting to get out of Dallas because he's not getting treated right. And I don't think he's getting treated right. I think they're trying to use that against him. And every other owner is looking at the Cowboys to see if they can do the same thing to a player, a big-name player, or any player, to try to keep money from him. You got to remember that. It's not just the Cowboys. It's the whole league that's looking at it. Jerry Jones is very influential in the NFL.
Jerry. I agree with that statement. However, because Dez Bryant had those issues coming into the NFL and they continue with his mother and others within his inner circle while he was in the NFL, Jerry Jones, well, they had already given him a chaperone, so to speak, but once these other incidents popped up, it became more of a necessity for Jerry Jones quote unquote protect his investment.
It's old news, Victor. It's old news. He hasn't gotten in trouble in how long?
Listen,
it's old news. So how long? And I keep saying the same thing. How long is this going to go? How long are you going to hold this over him? How long Jerry Jones and the organization going to hold over him? This is a ploy. Just like a month or so ago when supposedly a tape came out about a Walmart incident. It's just a ploy for the Dallas Cowboys to try to hold money back from Dez Bryant, where there was nothing about that Walmart. There was nothing to it. But you haven't heard anything about it since then because there was nothing to it. It was just a ploy to try to justify holding money back from Dez Bryant, which I think is pretty low down.
You done?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay. Listen, bro. All I'm trying to make the connection is the type of player that enters the NFL that gives the NFL a black eye, regardless of their immense talent. When will the owners or the NFL put their foot down and, say, no, it's not going to happen. These are the restrictions. Now, again, I am not on the owner's side. It might sound like it, but I am not
on the owner's side.
Well, I said it might sound like it, but I'm not. I am on the side of proper behavior out of these guys. If you want 1,000 people to follow you and emulate you, or even if you don't want them to, but they are going to, what type of attitude do you give them on the side? Okay, and I'm using Dez's situation right now. he's pumping up his team because he's emotional. Okay, so what happens when that junior high school kid, the high school kid, does the same thing, but is perceived as a troublesome kid? But he saw this happen with Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant is his role model. And Dez was just trying to be the positive, emotional leader of the team. Okay, but now that's something that's been ingrained in that kid, and now he's going to go around with that stigma. I think long-term effects, not short-term. It's not all about Dez. It's not all about Aaron Hernandez. It's not all about Ray Rice or any of these other cats. You know, Greg Hardy has a contract with the Dallas Cowboys now that's conditional. It's conditional. And we can agree that Greg Hardy is one of the biggest and best talents in the NFL. But for what he did, and, you know, it got dismissed because the young lady either refused to show or she didn't show, whatever the case may be, whether she got paid or not, I don't know, not getting into it. But because of that, that's the only reason why Greg Hardy is still able to continue his NFL career, penalized somewhat from the NFL, but he's still going to get paid by the Dallas Cowboys, possibly a hefty amount of money, but his attitude and his behavior, for the most part, we don't know, hasn't changed. We're not in his personal life. We don't know what's being exposed and what's not being exposed. But we do know that things happened. And because he has access to money, because he has access to all these different things, he was able to fight off the charges and come back to the NFL. So when you have these behavioral-based contracts, I think it's a good thing. I really do. Because if you are that talented, but you don't know how to blow off steam in a different way, or in a more or a less destructive way, maybe you don't deserve that money. Maybe you need to travel the world and see how other people live to see just how good you have it so that you don't do dumb things. And I called you Malcolm X earlier. Malcolm X was very destructive in his thinking prior to going to Mecca. Yes. Once he left Mecca, his whole attitude changed. His whole persona changed. Because he saw something different. He had a better understanding. That's what I saw. What'd you see?
Yeah.
Or why?
He had a better understanding of his religion. He saw a different part of his religion.
Correct.
Other than what he was taught within his religion. You're right. You're absolutely right. And
that's what comes up with these players, man. These players, they need to see different things or get out of what they know in order to change. That's what I mean by marketable change. I'm not saying make a journey to Mecca. I'm just saying, if you want me to give you... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. If you want me to give you, go ahead.
If you want me to give you $30 million, $40 million, whatever it is he's asking for, and I'm asking you, look, guy, we need you to make a marketable change. I'm not saying you got to be this way for the rest of your life, but as long as I'm going to employ you, I'm asking you to, and these are positive changes. They're not negative changes. Hard to think he said, nah, you're going to be gay now for this $40 million. That's something you definitely can't do because that's what something you disagree with. But if I say, let's say JoJo has a bad record and JoJo keeps getting in trouble, it might be minor trouble, but he keeps getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have you associated with JoJo because it's going to come back not on just JoJo, not on just you, but it's going to come back on the Dallas Cowboys. You brought up that video. Ezra was nowhere in the vicinity of what happened at Walmart. But what happened?
Right.
It was all about Dez Bryant because it was Dez Bryant's car that he had his name for, that he bought for Old Boy, or he lent to Old Boy. And Old Boy is the one that actually drove the girl out of the Walmart into the car and did whatever he did. And then it reflected on the Dallas Cowboys and Dez Bryant. Never mind Joe Snuffy, who nobody knows. Never mind Dez Bryant had nothing to do with it. But the talk was Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant was the person who had the name on the car.
Well, let me say something to this. And I had a heated conversation with a person like this who to this day, I talk to him about Ray Lewis. He doesn't like Ray Lewis because he thought Ray Lewis was involved in that crime, a murder.
Yeah.
And this is what I've told this guy, and I'm telling you the same thing. Just because it's a friend of yours, you can't control everything that your friends do. They're people and individuals. Wait a minute, they're individuals and people like you. Now, from one time to another, they may be a perfect person, and then for whatever reason, and you may be there, you may not be there, for whatever reason, they go off and do something you would never thought they would do in your whole life. And is that your fault? Is that your fault that he happens to be a friend of yours that in the past has never had a problem always carried himself basically the right way? Nobody's perfect, but basically carried himself the right way. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, that you would never thought your friend, who you counted on for years, decided to do something like kill a person or drag a woman out of a car or do something crazy like that. Now, is that your fault? Is that your fault? But because you're associated with that person, and that person has never done anything other than what happened to Ray Lewis or to Dez Bryant. Now people are holding that against Ray Lewis and Dez Bryant.
Listen, I tell you, the Ray Lewis situation, I can see where your point, because Ray had never been associated with anything negative, and
exactly
nothing. I know he had never been related to anything negative or any type of crime until that point, and to my knowledge.
Right,
after
right.
that point, either. But Dez Bryant came in with some issues, had several issues that he was directly involved with while he was in the NFL. And yes, his friend, that might have been the first time his friend did something. Might have been. But the point is, when you want to compare Ray Lewis and Dez Bryant, Ray only had one issue. Granted, it was a big one. But one situation, whereas Dez is at several. So when you want to compare the two, let's compare them correctly. Dez had several. Ray had one.
What I'm saying is this.
Ray had a marketable change. Ray had a marketable change in the people he hung out with and the things he did.
That's the point I was making. Ray Lewis realized he couldn't hang around the same people, had made a personnel change. Wait a minute, personnel change in the people that were around him. Now, what makes you think Dez Bryant hasn't done that? What makes you think Dez Bryant hasn't done that? Because you haven't seen him get in trouble since then. So for years, hadn't been 6 months. It hasn't been a year. It's been several years since Dez Bryant been on the team and turned things around. So I'm thinking Dez Bryant has grown up a little bit, matured a little bit, taken control of his life a little bit more, and surrounded himself with the right people that won't shed negative light on himself or the organization of the Dallas Cowboys, just like Ray Lewis did, made a personal change in the people that were surrounding him so he wouldn't be put in a situation that would reflect negatively on him. And I think Dez Bryant has done that also. He hasn't been in trouble. I got to go back to that because he hasn't been in trouble. He hasn't. There's been no issue.
Okay.
Now, I understand it, and let me tell you something. With a high-profile player like Dez Bryant, and he's on the Cowboys. Cowboys are a high-profile team, and he's a high-profile player. If there was something out there, anything, that and the press got a hold of it, guarantee would be in the news. There hasn't been a drop of anything that of any substance that's been on Dez Bryant's doorstep. So the Dallas Cowboys using the premise that we don't trust you, we think we give you this money, you're going to go buck wild. We still want to have that monitor. Dez Bryant says, look, how long is this going to take place? I've done what you asked me to do. Now it's my time to get paid, and you won't pay me? When his time is up, if the Dallas Cowboys don't pay him, when his time is up, he won't out of Dallas fast enough. I guarantee it.
Oh, I agree. Listen, I agree with you. I agree 100% with you that if they don't pay him, he's going to be gone. I mean, they can franchise him twice. You know, and by that time, he's going to be, 27, 28? And some people might say he might be headed downward from there. I think he's going to get even better. As I said at the beginning of the fantasy season, I thought he was the number two best receiver in the NFL. I did. I thought he was the number two. And other people put, some other people up there, but I said he was the number two best receiver in the NFL. I believe that because he has the talent. The one thing that he does not have is the temperament. He doesn't have the temperament for me as an owner to say, look, bruh, you want $40 million for me? Okay, fine. I'm willing to give you $40 million. But you need to stay within these guidelines, not what you said you've done in the past. Okay, that's fine. You stayed on the straight and narrow for 2 years because in the first 2 years with the situation with his mom and the other, because I think it was another situation like he had hit his mother and the next one was where
he had restrained his mother. He restrained his mother. His mother was going crazy and he restrained his mother.
Okay.
Didn't hit her, restrained her.
Okay, all right. He did that. And there was something else with his mom and someone else that he got involved in. I'm not sure who it was or what it was. But at the same time, at some point, you got to cut ties. And that's what I say happens to people that, you know, do things that can damage me, even though they might not mean to. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I've been around you long enough to know what type of person you are. I love you. But at the same time, it's time to let you go do you and me do me. I can't sit here and say that I'm the cleanest thing since white sheets, but I will say that I've learned my lessons about a lot of things, and I do my best not to repeat them because I know the implication on my family, my career, and my friends. So, you know, when somebody tells me, look, I value your service, and I'm going to give you $40 million, just stick to these guidelines, and we're good, that's not a problem for me. I'm about to re-up. You know, I might not get a bonus, but I'm about to re-up. And that security, for me and my family, all I got to do is show up to work, stay in shape, do my job, and don't do nothing stupid, that's easy money to me. Easy money to me. The hardest part is staying in shape because I like to eat so much. But other than you know, I'm down for rules. I'm not a rule breaker. Or I like to walk the line, and I don't like to break the rules. And this goes back to Aaron Hernandez in that situation. You know, he walked that line and he crossed it, but he kept dipping his toe over into that other side until he got his whole leg and his whole body over there. But people still thought it was on the good side. But let's move on. We talked a lot on that subject matter. We brought in Dez Bryant, stuff like that. And we talked about Beckham. But what I want to get to, JT, we have a lot of players. We have a lot of risky players not personality-wise, but athletic-wise, going in this draft. The top 10, we know who the top 10 players or the top 10 teams in the draft are going to be. So here's a question. Who goes where for what in this upcoming draft? Are we going to agree that Jameis Winston is the number one overall draft pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or could it be Marcus Mariota? And either one of them goes number one. Who's moving up to number two to take the job away from, what is it? Is it Tennessee was the number two pick? Yeah. To take that second pick from Tennessee. Who do you see going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And what team do you think is going to get them? If they're not already in that spot.
Quite naturally, I think Winston's still going, regardless of what the, all this talk about the lawsuits and everything, that he's still going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think there's a general feeling, and I'm jumping on with this, that even though Tennessee had the number two pick, they're not going to take Marcus Mariota. That pick is going to get traded. They're probably going to get traded down. I think San Diego is really going to jump up and get in the Tennessee spot to grab Marcus Mariota because Phillip Rivers is not happy with the possibility of San Diego moving to L.A. And he will be reunited with his old coach, which is Ken Whisenhunt. Even though Phillip has a big family and really not akin to moving, threatening to retire and go coach high school football, I think it would be a softer spot if he went to Tennessee Titans with Ken Whisenhunt versus going and staying with the Chargers and possibly moving to LA. He's, for some, whatever reason, definitely doesn't want to move to LA. So, and he's already stated that he's not signing the contract, so we'll have to wait and see what happens at the draft, because I think that's what's going to take place. I think Tennessee trade that away for someone who wants Mariota. And I think it's going to be the Chargers. Now, if they don't take him, if that doesn't happen, I think that if it happens, then the third pick, in my opinion, goes to a team that needs a pass rusher and a run stuffer and not the Fowler from Florida. I think the Raiders need a wide receiver, and it's a toss-up on what wide receiver they take, whether it's Amari Cooper, who I think they're going to take, or Kevin White, and I think they're going to take Amari Cooper. Number five, I think you need help on that defensive line. I'm talking about the Washington Redskins, and I'd be surprised if he goes past five, but I think Leonard Williams would be an ideal fit for the the Washington Redskins. Yes. At number six is the Jets.
Go ahead.
At number six, I like the another linebacker for the Jets, or a defensive end from Missouri, Shane Ray. I think they need somebody. They need as many defensive players as possible because that's the way the Jets roll. They're going to be a defensive type of team. So they're going to need a pass rusher and slash run stuffer and Shane Ray. So I think they go that way. Now, I'd be surprised. Brandon Marshall left and went to the Jets, got traded to the Jets. I know Marquise Wilson is probably another guy that they're looking to use, but I think the skill set of Kevin White going to Chicago for with Jake Cutler, if Jake Cutler's still there, or whoever is the quarterback there, it would be a good fit in that offense. At number eight, what's the worst? What's the most needed thing in, or one of the most needed things in Atlanta, with a defensive-minded coach and Dan Quinn, is a pass rusher. You need somebody on the edge to rush the passer, especially with Drew Brees in that division, and also Cam Newton. You need Vic Beasley at the number eight pick, and I like that pick a lot to go to Atlanta. And then for the number nine pick at the New York Giants, I'm thinking that they need line help on both sides of the ball, offensive, defensive. I think they're better off getting an offensive guy this time, second round and on, that they'll look for the defense. Brandon Scherff on the New York Giants, I think that's number nine. And to end the last, the top ten, is the St. Louis Rams with Nick Foles or whoever is the quarterback there. They need, and they've been needing him for a while, wide receivers. And who better to sit there at number 10 is Devontae Parker. That's who I like, 1 through 10.
Now, here's my question. Do you think Randy Gregory has fallen out of the first round?
No. I think he's going to be in the later part of the first round. Yeah, I think that's where he's going to go. He's not going to go top 10. If he didn't have that drug, I would say there's a strong possibility that he would have. But because of that, no, I don't think he's going to go in the top 10. I'm thinking between 17 and 25, somewhere in there.
Now, Leonard Williams is a very good pick, and I like him coming to the Redskins. I really do. If this trade goes off, because he's a big, strong inside presence. And he went from being the number one overall consensus person if Jameis Winston wasn't coming out or the need for a quarterback wasn't Tampa Bay, to, in your opinion, dropping number five. A lot of people have him dropping him over Fowler. Some people have Fowler over him, and I'm like, edge rushers are good, but sometimes those edge rushers don't pan out. I like Vic Beasley a lot. Of course, he's Vic. But I don't know if he can drop back. I think he's just a pass rusher. Fowler's interesting. He has said if he goes past number three, he'll be surprised and he'll be angry. That tells me that Fowler really wants to stay in Florida and play for Jacksonville. Out of the two, if you had your pick, would you go with Fowler or would you go with Williams?
Oh, if I had a pick between Fowler and Williams?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, the two different positions. One is defensive end or defensive lineman, and the other one's a linebacker. If I had my druthers. Oh, man. Wow. That's. Talking about apples and oranges.
Beasley's a
DN. Well, you know, I don't like that. Let me tell you something here. Beasley, I have him going. Where did I have Beasley going? I had him going
to Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't gone to Atlanta. Beasley is one of these guys. I think that you question his motor. Is he going to play every down, or is he going to take snaps off? So you have to figure out if he's going to be a. You're going to have to motivate him, or is he a self-motivated person? But between Leonard Williams and Dante Fowler, wow. I'd like to have that choice if I was the which the I think the Washington Redskins may not have a choice. I think Fowler's definitely going to go in the top three. I'd be surprised if he slipped to the Redskins. And it's, let me put it this way, Victor, it's the way this draft is going to go is key on what the Titans do. If the Titans deal that pick off to whatever team wants Mariota, or do they keep that? If they keep that, then they're more likely they'll take Leonard Williams. I tell you that right now. If they go Mariota, I think they go with Leonard Williams, and that changes the whole draft for a few teams. And I hate to say it, but your team could possibly take Marcus Mariota. So you never know.
Well,
so
I would say this. If Marcus Mariota falls to the Redskins, remember, because I was going to say this when I gave my part, remember what the New Orleans Saints did with Ricky Williams and the Redskins? Look for that to happen if we were to get Phillip Rivers, even though he might not want to come to D.C. But if San Diego really wants Mariota, they will probably give us the rest of their draft or a big part of this year's draft and next year's draft to get Mariota. It could be the likes of what we gave St. Louis to get RG3. Because I really think, and that was my scenario, that Leonard Williams goes to Tennessee to pair him with Brian Arakpo, who just went there,
right,
and the rest of that defense, because they need defense. Tennessee needs defense.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
They're going to run with old boy from LSU that was there last year at quarterback. I think they're going to have the growing pains with him. And the fact that the Rams sent the entire organization, I'm talking about the CEO of the organization, went up to see Marcus Mariota's day. They had the CEO of the Rams at the daggone tryout, so to speak. That says a lot, in my opinion. Either they're marking this guy up so much to see what people are willing to do to go get him if he falls to them, or this is just they're going to draft him. I don't think he's going to fall to the Rams, but if you understand what I'm saying, if Leonard Williams stands pat at Tennessee, that changes the entire complexion of the draft.
Absolutely. So, that's why I said that. Yep.
Honestly, this is what I think is going to happen. All right. I think James is going to go to Tampa Bay. Williams is going to go to Tennessee. Fowler is going to go to Jacksonville. Number four is the Raiders. Now, here's the deal.
They're going to take a wide receiver. Either Kevin White or Amari Cooper. Absolutely.
Listen. This is what I think is going to happen. At the last minute, the Raiders are going to trade with Minnesota for AP. Give them the fourth overall pick. No, you haven't heard. Listen, there's some rumblings out here, serious rumblings, that they are offering this year's number one and the number two next year. They're going to swap picks, meaning, okay, Oakland and Minnesota would swap picks this year, and they would give up next year's number one or number two to get AP to Oakland. That's what I'm hearing. How much truth is to it, I don't know. But that's what I'm hearing. If that happens, AP goes to the Raiders, so Minnesota jumps into that spot. What does Minnesota need? Minnesota might draft a wide receiver to go up there
Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. But you remember, Mike Zimmer's a defensive coach. He's a defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he might get, Fowler. I mean, not Fowler, because he's already gone. He might get Vic Beasley to go with Anthony Barr. But they need a safety. And the best safety is out of Alabama. I don't think he's going to go in the top four, but he quite possibly could. If Minnesota does this, they're either going to draft Gurley or Gordon. That's what I'm saying. Gurley or Gordon at number four. Now, if the Cowboys...
And the, just to interject this about Gurley, Gurley it was rechecked in Indianapolis in the past couple of days, and his knee checked out okay, so he's on track to possibly be ready for training camp. More than likely, he's going to be put on the PUP list, but it seems like Gurley's going to be a high draft pick. And,
correct.
And it's a medical trip because of his knees checked out.
And that's why I was bringing him up and talking about, because I think that's going to happen. Now, him or Gordon. Now, if the Cowboys get their way, you know, everything will stay in pat, and they get AP, and we go back to Oakland getting and I think it'll be a mistake. It will be a mistake for Oakland to get Cooper. I don't think Cooper is a better receiver. I think the guy from West Virginia is the better receiver for the Oakland Raiders. He's raw, but he has talent, and I think he can prove to be a better pro than Cooper. I don't think Cooper is
Who's that?
I think Walker's his name, out of West Virginia, wide receiver. But Amani Cooper.
Kevin White.
Kevin White. Thank you. Kevin White, I think, is a better overall receiver than Cooper because Cooper saw a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of man-to-man, and because he played for Alabama. He didn't show out in one particular game where it was big-time play. White, on the other hand, showed out on a lot of big games, but he also disappeared in one or two as well. But for what Oakland wants, speed, height, strength, White is the better player. You pair him with James Jones and the other young receiver they got out there, you have a great opportunity to help Mr. Carr be very successful. But they're also talking about getting a defensive lineman. So we'll see what happens. But that leads us to the Redskins at number five. If Mariota is there, I think they trade with whomever except for the Eagles, because I think they'll do an interdivision trade. And the Eagles aren't going to give up a bunch of trades to their rival to get Mariota. At least that's what Chip said anyway. But you see a trade, maybe the Rams gives us back all those daggone picks to get, you know, to move up a couple spots to get Mariota. You never know. But I don't see the Redskins picking at number five if Mariota is there. If your scenario plays out, they get Williams. Some people are saying they still might get Gregory, but I say no. Because last year, you got to remember, last year they got a pass rusher to take Brian Arakpo's place. They got that kid out of Stanford who came in and did pretty well. And you pair him with Ryan Kerrigan, and you get another inside linebacker. You got a good defense right there. So I don't think they're going to get Beasley or Fowler or Gregory. I think they'll get Williams if he's there. If not, I think they'll trade out of that position. But with that said, JT, we got 5 minutes left of the show. And I think we've had a very good conversation on the show today, a little debate.
Yeah.
So here's the last thing I want to talk about. Will a young gun step up and win the NBA title this year? Is it the changing of the guard, so to speak? That's what I'm asking. Is it the changing of the guard in the NBA?
You asking for my opinion? I think that the...
Yes.
Well, the veterans in the last three, at least, have been the team that won. talking about in San Antonio and in Miami. Last two. The ones I think that have a real good shot, and just probably a no-brainer, but a lot of people think that they may have a hard time getting out of the first round. I think they get out of the first round, maybe issue with the second round. But the highest scoring team, the team with the best player in the this year, in my opinion, meaning Steph Curry, I think the young guns have a strong chance of doing it because they played. They don't play as good a defense as Memphis or the San Antonio Spurs, but they play good enough defense to offset the type of offense they play. So I do like the Golden State Warriors a lot. I'm excited about watching them play this weekend, their first game in the first round of the playoffs, and to see how well they do against the Pelicans. I think they would have had a stiffer competition if they played the Thunder, but the Pelicans are no slouch either. So I think there may be a change in the guard. Now, San Antonio, trust me, you can't count them out. They're wily veterans. They got five titles, and they're battle-tested. I think that if it's not San Antonio, it's going to be Golden State. That goes to finals for the West. I think whoever comes out of the West is the winner of the NBA title. That's all I got. You there?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had you on mute for a second. So you don't see the Atlanta Hawks or Cavaliers holding on as number one and number two coming out?
Nope. No.
Who comes out of the East?
Who's coming out of the East? Oh, God. There's only three teams, I think, that have a chance to come out of the East. The quite naturally, the LeBron-led Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, who I really got skeptical of Atlanta Hawks, and the Chicago Bulls. Between those three teams, I think probably the best chance would be the Cleveland Cavaliers because of the LeBron James factor. And I think there's too much firepower in the if Golden State and quite naturally, especially if it's San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio Spurs, I think, is going to school them with too much experience and too much know-how. And I think if it was the Golden State, I think it's too much firepower. I think there's too much offense for Cleveland to deal with on a game-by-game basis. So I'm saying whoever wins the title is going to come out the West, plain and simple.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get ready to get off the air. I want to say I appreciate you guys listening. And, of course, to my main man, Ace Boom Coon, JTATN Money, Jerry Taylor. As usual, I'm very glad to be on the air with him. I can agree with some of what he's saying. I think the Young Guns are going to step up and win it this year. So sit tight, and we'll talk about it next time on FSP. But with that being said, JT, what do you plan to talk about tomorrow on the Master Plan?
So let me talk about you got a preview of my first 10, but I'm going to be talking about the NFL draft. This is my NFL draft mock draft, I should say, 2.0. I talked about 1.0 two or three weeks ago. I can't recall what week it was. I started it last week, and Jeff and I got on a conversation and wasn't able to complete it. So I'm going to go back again and do this mock draft 2.0 this 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time a.m. on tomorrow. And go from 1 to 32, or who I think is going to go to what team. And also, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say it again next week on the Master Plan and also on the FSP. On Thursday, April 30th, the day of the draft, I'm going to be on the air. Whoever is going to be with me is going to be with me. Whoever is not, is not. But I'm going to be on the air from start to finish of the NFL draft. It's going to be an extended show. So whoever is going to be with me, but I'm going to talk about each and every draft pick and the also about what is what the mind, the thoughts of each team. There's going to be trades. We all know there's going to be trades. There's always a habit of teams trading on draft day. So I'm going to be on air from start to finish of the NFL draft, 8 o'clock until whenever it's over. I think it's about 11 o'clock.
Well, it's probably going to go past 11, JT, but we only have 3 hours. But you know, I'll be there, bro.
3 hours. 3 hours of live air. 3 hours of live air. If I only got 3 hours, 3 hours, I'm going to the max. 3 hours
now,
of live air, we're going to talk about the NFL draft.
JT, you can always stream
yes.
the complete draft on spotonradio.webs.com. As long as you have the program I told you to get, WinAmp, you can stream uninterrupted the entire first round, second round, third, whatever you want, live over at spotonradio.webs.com. But you got to have that application. So let me know what you want to do, brother man. So we can start.
Yeah, we're going to have to. We're going to have. Right.
We can start it.
We got to talk about that though, off air because I think that's what I definitely want to do. So.
All right, brother. I'm here for you.
All right.
Let me know. All right.
I'm telling you, that's what I want to do. And we got to converse on the particulars, but that's what I want to do.
All right, too easy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Jefferson, be along with JTAK Money Doing. We do because we do it every day, every Saturday, that is. And we talk sports every day of our lives. Right now, it's time to get ready to go do some other things. And we're about to get out of here. Anything you want to say before we go, JT?
All I got to say, and I'm trying to help you out here, Victor, the league, our baseball league, has gone berserk. If you see what they dropped on some players they dropped, I don't understand it, but it is what it is. I don't understand it, but it is what it is. Yep.
And I got the first pick, so on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I know you do, but as soon as you get the first pick, You'll be behind me, so I'm not even worried about it.
Whatever. All right, bro, man, I'm out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun. It's been grand. But
see
ya. Get that cane.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.